Hey guys, you're listening to the most captivating podcast in iTunes. That's right, the Elite Man Podcast, where we turn average men into elite men every day. We interview the very best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and even entrepreneurial worlds. And with their help, we give you some of the best advice on the planet. Subscribe now if you haven't already and enjoy the show. And oh yeah, if you really enjoy it, leave us a review. On today's episode, episode number 178, entitled, How to Overcome Rejection, Move Past Failure, and Become Unstoppable, I chat with absolutely nobody but myself. I'm switching things up again, guys, today, and I am doing a solo episode. It's been a little while since I did a solo, and quite honestly, I have a lot of fun when I do the solo ones. It's a good switch up from interviewing people. As much as I love interviewing and talking to some of these great experts, so many of these great experts we have on the show all the time, it's pretty fun to take over the mic and just talk to you guys directly for, you know, 45 minutes or an hour every once in a while, and just tell you all my thoughts, whether that is what's going on more in my life or covering the topic of the day, or just kind of filling you in with some more insights into how I think and the idiosyncrasies of the thought process that goes on in between my ears. So it's cool to hop on this mic from time to time and take over. And today, of course, I'm going to be covering how you can get over rejection, move past failure, and become unstoppable in your life. But before we do so, I do want to mention the Elite Life Nutrition supplements. So if you haven't gotten any of these supplements yet, or if you haven't tried it out, or if you're needing to refuel and get some more, you can always go to EliteLifeNutrition.com. And if you want to search a specific supplement, we have magnesium citrate, we have calcium carbonate, we have ashwagandha, and we have a men's multivitamin currently. And also for the women listeners, I know we actually do have a good percentage, quite more than you might expect, of female listeners to the Elite Man Podcast. So for all you women out there, we actually have an elite women's multivitamin coming out. And probably by the time this drops, maybe about 4 or 5 days after this episode drops. So actually right now, as I record this, it is a couple days before July 4th. So it should be probably the weekend after July 4th. You guys will be able to get the women's multivitamin we have. And it's just as good as the elite men's multivitamin. Has many of the same form, actually all the same forms of ingredients, like the highest quality forms of ingredients you could imagine. And it's just tremendous, like value-wise, dosage-wise, form-wise. And then for fillers, it just has literally the gelatin capsule and a little bit of rice flour, which so many other multivitamins, you look at the ingredient list, it has so much shit that you do not want to be consuming. So many excipients, so many additives, so many names you can't even pronounce and names that I couldn't pronounce if I tried a million years. Ours literally just has the cap, and then a little bit of rice to fill the cap, which is needed to kind of hold everything together. But rice is very safe for the most part. Generally speaking, in supplements, if you can have just rice flour as an extra ingredient, you are doing really, really well. So that women's multivitamin will be available in a few days after this episode drops. Happy 4th of July, by the way. Like if you guys know anything about me, you know I'm a huge summer guy. I absolutely love the summertime. And of all the summer days, 4th of July, the weeks leading up to 4th of July, like the week or so before 4th of July, and then like the week or two after 4th of July is my absolute favorite time of year. The weather is beautiful. The sun is out. You know, I'm typically going by the beach and by the water, checking out some hot, beautiful women, and having a couple of beers and a couple of drinks and some good food. And that's life to me. Like that, I absolutely love that shit. And, you know, it just brings up so many fond memories of some good times when I think of 4th of July and I think of this time of year. So I hope you enjoy it as much as I do. I know I'm going to be celebrating this year. Haven't yet decided what I want to do yet, which is probably not the best idea for planning things out. I'm not really a planner as it is. You know, in my personal life, I just kind of wing things, which is pretty cool. But I will be doing something fun, I can tell you that, whether that's going by the beach and watching the fireworks. I might travel down to Plymouth, I might go to Newport, Rhode Island, or I might just stay up in the Boston area and check out the Boston Pops and the fireworks there. but I haven't yet decided. But whatever I do, I am going to have a blast. And I've been on keto for 90 days, excuse me. And the funny thing is, I didn't plan it. As I told you a minute ago, I kind of wing things a lot in my personal life, which is, you know, just the way I am, kind of how I've always been. I didn't plan it out this way, but actually, as it turns out, the 90 days that I wanted to strictly do keto happens to end the day before 4th of July. So July 2nd, at the end of July 2nd, when July 3rd happens, when July, you know, hits midnight, the diet is actually over. Those 90 days are up. So I have a full day, July 3rd, to be off the diet. And then, of course, I can celebrate on July 4th and have a few drinks and have some, you know, good food, which, you know, to be honest, keto is overrated in terms of what you cannot have. And there's a lot of good food that you can have on keto. And I'll probably do an episode on just keto and how to get into ketogenesis and my thoughts on the ketogenic diet and the foods and all this other stuff. I'll probably do one of those episodes in the near future, but suffice to say, it's actually not as hard as a lot of people think. And the food options are pretty damn good, actually. If you think about it, fat is pretty tasty, and you can still have a decent amount of protein. Just the carbs, which we've all been so accustomed to having all the time, is you know, the thing that gets cut out. But you can make a lot of supplementations with that. You can put like cauliflower and throw some grass-fed butter or coconut oil on it and mash it up, and it tastes just like mashed potatoes. So that was a big staple for me. Almost every day I had cauliflower mashed up like that, and it was huge, and it was basically like my fake carbs. But I'll get into that probably in a few weeks or so. I'll bring somebody on or just talk about that in another solo. But it was pretty good. I did notice some good things with it. Sleep got a little better. Energy got a little better. Headaches, which actually is the main reason why I did it for, improved a little bit. So we'll see. We'll see if I maintain it, maybe just have a lower carb intake from this point forward. I don't know if I'm going to be super strict with keto, but you know, who knows? I'll see how it goes after this week of kind of having a little bit of a party couple days where I'm going out and celebrating with 4th of July, and I'll see how I feel and kind of reconvene next week and see what I want to do going forward. But I did enjoy it, and I do think there's a lot of benefit to it. So I will cover that in more detail in the near future. But going back to what I was talking about a minute ago, got a little off track. Elite Life Nutrition is EliteLifeNutrition.com is where you can find any one of the supplements. Just go to EliteLifeNutrition.com/magnesium or /calcium or /ashwagandha, which is a tough one to spell. You might want to look in the show notes for that. Or I'll just quickly say it. It's ASHWAGANDHA, ashwagandha. There's an extra H at the end of that. And then multi. So EliteLifeNutrition.com/multi will get you to the men's multi. And any one of these supplements will have or can have a dramatic impact on your health and help you overall. I mean, absolutely no side effects to any one of these as long as you take them in the right dosages and, you know, as directed on the label. And they can only improve your health and only help you overall. So I don't want to beat a dead horse, but if you haven't tried any one of these out, I definitely recommend you try them out because I mean, there's just so many benefits attached to every single one of these supplements. And then, of course, the women's multi coming out soon has just the same benefits as the men's multi, which so many guys, I mean, you go on Amazon right now, you check out some of those reviews. They are fantastic on all the supplements and for good reason. It really does make me proud. We had Sal Mariano a few weeks back, maybe a month or so back on the show, and he was talking about the men's multivitamin and how it helped him with a lot of stuff. If you haven't heard that one, that's a fantastic episode. But you know, just hearing things like that really does make me happy and truly puts a smile on my face, as I mentioned to him. But yeah, that's the Elite Life Nutrition stuff. We are having some more supplements come up probably in the next month or so. We'll probably have another one. I don't want to reveal it too early because we're in the process of kind of figuring it out right now. But we probably have another one coming out in a month, and then, you know, a month after that, we're just going to unravel them one after the other, and we're pretty excited. So if you guys actually have any suggestions and you want to shoot me something, you know, ideas of potential products you want me to look into to bringing on, or if there's some things that you've been taking for years that you want us to carry as well going forward, definitely shoot me an email at justin@elitemanmagazine.com, or if, you know, I'm always on Facebook too. I mentioned this in some of the recent episodes. Big on social media now. at Justin Stenstrom, either on Instagram. You can shoot me a message on there, or you can shoot me a message on Facebook. I'm always on Facebook too. And friend request me too. I'm always on Facebook. If you friend request me, shoot me a message. Say you listen to the podcast, say you're a fan. I'll accept the friend request. Or just follow me if you don't want to be friends. That's cool too. You can always follow me and message me there. I'm always open to people. I'm always open to suggestions and ideas, whether that is a supplement you want me to look into bringing on the line, or whether that's a podcast guest you want me to potentially reach out to and bring on the show. Always shoot me a message. I'm always available and always up to hear what you guys think. But in today's episode, enough of the bullshit. I've been kind of, you know, dicking around for, what is it, like 10 minutes or so now, talking about, you know, weather and women and supplements and 4th of July crap. Let's dive into some meat here. So in today's episode, I want to cover rejection. And if you know anything about me, if you've listened to the podcast before, if you listen to any of the episodes, you know that I am probably the king of rejection. I've been rejected so many times in my life that at this point, I mean, there should be some kind of award out there so I can put it on the shelf next to the other awards that I've won over the years. And you know, not that there's that many either, because, you know, I wasn't really that great at too many things growing up, sports-wise and things like that. I always kind of got, like, the, you know, participation trophy. I was athletic, but I never really won anything except for, I think, when I was 9 years old, we won the Little League Championship, and that's the only real big trophy I got. All the other ones are smaller ones, all the participation trophies. But, you know, needless to say, I've been rejected so many times in my life, and if I hadn't gotten good, if I wasn't good at overcoming rejection now, there would be a problem, just because I've been accustomed to it for so many years now that I only had one direction to go, and that was up. Because all the other options were basically just continue to get rejected, continue to fail, continue to mess up and you know, not get what you want and be unhappy, or you can make some changes, learn from these things, grow from them, and, you know, see some success. And as it turns out, as bad as I am at rejection, I'm also pretty damn good at putting my foot down and figuring out the problem and solving things. So I am very determined and I'm very persistent when I want to solve a problem. So when I get rejected, and this didn't happen overnight either, this took me many years to sort of develop this attitude, this philosophy of overcoming these problems, of overcoming my failures and my rejections, and having this mindset, this relentless attitude to not give in, not give up. It wasn't something that came overnight. It wasn't something that came intuitively. It wasn't something that you know, just kind of happened on its own and sort of took rise, you know, by its own and by chance. It was something that I actually had to think of. I had to slowly cultivate, and through all these rejections and failures, I slowly had to grow. And I want to talk about that process in a few minutes. I want to talk about how you guys can learn from that. You learn from me every time I get on this mic, every time a guest comes on the show, they talk, they tell their story, they talk about different tips and strategies and tactics. They teach you something because they've learned things over the years. They've learned what not to do and what to do right, what works and what doesn't work. And what I hope to share when I share a couple of these stories of rejection, I want to show you exactly how bad I was, and then also how I was able to grow from these things, how I was able to learn, what I learned, and I want to impart that wisdom upon you. I want to impart the failures and the rejection and the lessons that I learned from those things so that you don't actually have to go through them yourself. That's what I do when I learn anything. When I, you know, going back to keto, when I was researching the keto thing for a couple of months, I basically watched a shitload of videos on YouTube and listened to a shitload of podcast episodes on iTunes, and it was basically just typing in keto and keto information and keto diet and ketogenic diet and ketosis and everything I could think of to give me more advice on ketosis and the ketogenic diet and what I could do to get started and how do I can do it, you know, safely and effectively. And it was basically everything I learned was because I learned from people that had done it before me, people that have tried themselves, people that had gone through the process themselves and figured out what worked and what didn't work. And just by doing some research in my case, it took many hours because I'm like that and I dive into shit and I really want to know every single little thing. And I want to know the science behind it. So I was looking up scientists and, you know, all the papers and all that shit. That you don't actually have to know that. I'm just kind of, you know, anal in that sense where I'd like to know every little detail. But it took me hours, and it took me a lot of time to dig into that stuff and really get a feel for it and understand it completely. But honestly, it probably only would have took a few hours, maybe 2-3 hours of really looking at something, or better yet, listening to someone who really knew what they were talking about, or someone who was really aligned with exactly what I was trying to learn. And if I had done that, it would have probably only took a couple hours, and you know, would have had all the information I needed, and I would have had all that information because those people have done it before me. They messed up, they did things wrong, they did things right. And ultimately, they came out and figured out what works and what doesn't work. And I'm just basically hacking the amount of time it takes to learn that process. I could have went through this process myself, you know, just figured out what went online, did a 5-minute search and figured out what the ketogenic diet looked like. You know, 80-85% fat, 10% of protein, and 5% carbs. I could have did it that way and then just, you know, winged it myself and you know, had a lot of mess ups and failures and probably would have had some fucking serious health issues. I could have did it that way, but I chose to do it the smart way and actually put in a little time, put in a little effort, and do the research myself into figuring out, you know, how to actually do it right. As it turns out, that's what I want to give to you guys. I want to shave off the time that it's going to take for you to learn what you have to learn in regards to overcoming rejection, overcoming failures, overcoming all that shit that inevitably pops up in your life. So I'm going to shave off, hopefully anyways, I mean, this is just, you know, wishful thinking, but it is possible. Hopefully I can shave off years of frustration in your life, because that's what it took me. It took me years before I was able to really overcome the impact that rejection and failure had on me. And that's, you know, from age, say, I mean, I've been failing, everyone too, and this isn't just me, but everybody's been failing their entire life at different things. We're not just innately great at a ton of different shit, you know, a multitude of different skills. We don't just come naturally pre-programmed in this world to fucking be great at everything. So naturally, we're going to fail at a lot of things. But from age, say, 12 to age 17, 18, you know, about 5-6 years, I got rejected a lot. And the rejection stung the most in this period of my life. So from junior high to, say, the end of high school, senior year, graduating high school, 18 or so, 17, 18, rejection really hit me hard. And as you know, too, as you know, if you listen to any podcast, 17 years old, I was really suicidally depressed and incredibly anxious to the point where I was getting 3-4 panic attacks a week. No confidence, no self-esteem, no direction, no purpose, all that stuff. I mean, everything just hit me hard, and I didn't have any of that shit. And for about a year or so, my life was misery. It was totally horrible. That's what it was for me. That was my reality, though. And it didn't all stem from this, but this all played a role. What we're talking about today played a role in why it was so bad for so long. And it's because I didn't know how to deal with rejection. I didn't know how to overcome failures that popped up. I didn't know how to go with the flow and just let shit bounce off of me and continue to do the things that I want to do. I didn't know how to do any of that stuff. And so when it came time to get over rejection, to move past these things that weren't working for me, I didn't know how to do it. And I just get stuck. I got stuck and I got further and further into the hole. I dug myself deeper and deeper into that hole, and it got worse and worse. And the depression got worse, the anxiety got worse, the self-esteem issues got worse, the confidence issues got worse, all of those things got worse because I couldn't just get past it. I couldn't snap my fingers and just fucking move on with my life. It wasn't something I knew how to do. It wasn't something I mentally, cognitively knew how to process, and it wasn't something I emotionally knew how to handle. But I'm going to talk about how you can better prepare for things like that and how you can better handle those things in a few minutes. But going back, I mean, just kind of going down, taking a trip down memory lane here. I do want to talk about a couple of funny little rejection stories, because this is, I mean, they're funny now, but you know, at the time they were fucking pretty terrible. But I can remember my first real rejection was sixth grade. I think I was 12 years old, and there was this really cute girl that I liked, and I just remember, like, I had a huge crush on her, and she was, like, that, just the cutest girl you would, like, the coolest, cutest, prettiest girl in the grade, and everybody liked her. I thought she liked me. I thought things were good. You know, we kind of had, like, this little flirty thing going on. I thought everything was cool. I went home one day. This was back when there was AOL AIM or, you know, AOL chat and all that shit. You know, we had, like, screen names. I forget what mine was. It was something really ridiculously stupid, though. I wish I could remember what it was. And you know, I go online, and we all had these, like, chat profiles and stuff. And, yeah, I messaged her or something. And this was back in the day when you messaged a girl and asked her out on a date. Or you asked her to be your girlfriend. And that was, like, you know, asking her out was just, like, through AIM chat. Like, everybody did it back in the day. So I went on, you know, thinking I was cool and thinking that this girl liked me and thinking, you know, everything was going to be great. I went on, I AIM chatted her and asked her to be my girlfriend on AIM. And needless to say, it didn't work out. And she said no. I think she actually was really nice about it. And she kind of put me down lightly. But, you know, being a 12-year-old with high ambitions and love in my heart and not being able to see clearly or think clearly back then, I took it to heart and it really stung. And the next day I remember going in and as nice as this girl was, or as polite as you can be, as one girl can be through AIM chat, apparently she had told a couple of her friends that I'd asked her out, and I just remember going in the next day and, you know, for some reason the whole class knew, and eventually the whole grade, which was like 120, 150 kids. But our whole class definitely knew. We were actually in an honors class, and it was like 30 of us. And I go in the next day, and, you know, basically the whole class is snickering at me and laughing behind my back. And basically, that fucking stung. Like, that was really bad. That one hurt. That one really hurt. And, you know, for the next couple weeks or whatever, you know, kids are kind of making fun of me. They're laughing at me. You know, the guys in the class are giving me shit, and the girls, you know, thought I was basically a loser. I don't know why. I mean, this is just normal shit. You're 12 years old, that, you know, this kind of shit happens. But I don't know why I took it to heart so much, but I did. And after that, you know, in this day and age, if I had known, you know, you always wish you can go back in time or whatever. If I had known what I know now, you know, the whole thing wouldn't have played out that way anyways. I would have just played it off cool. You know, not having the dating skills I have now, I probably would have been able to date her. But even if I wasn't, I would have played it off cool. And I wouldn't even have took that rejection. I would have laughed it off and literally just, like, fucking totally didn't think about it. But I thought about it for a few weeks and messed with my, like, confidence. And I was pretty confident back then at the time, but it messed with my confidence. And I think, I didn't really talk to that girl again as much as we were, like, friends before. I didn't really talk to her again. We're kind of, you know, still friends a little bit after that, but it was sort of weird. It was a little awkward. And, you know, that was it. Like, you know, I didn't know how to deal with that situation. I didn't know how to bounce back and just, like, pretend like it didn't happen or act like it wasn't a big deal. To me, I wore my heart on my sleeve, and everybody knew it, and everybody could see it. It was all over my face. It was all over my body language. I was fucking hurt from that, and it continued to stay with me for a little while afterwards. Like, even if I bounced back and the kids weren't necessarily making fun of me a few weeks later, it stuck with me probably for the next year or so. Because it was just like something you'd see out of a movie where all the kids are laughing and you just look like a fool. And it made me more cautious about doing that kind of thing. And, I didn't ask a girl out, I think, for another couple of years, for like another 2 years. And then I actually had a girlfriend, I think in the eighth grade, and then got dumped by her. She called up one of her friends or something, had her friend dump me, which sucked too. There was another rejection that really fucking stung. Those little things right there stuck with me. And then going into high school, I didn't really have the confidence I wanted to. Normal people, normal guys, I think, would have just moved past this. They wouldn't have stuck around and, you know, had those thoughts linger in their mind. But there was something a little different about me. Like I said, I wear my heart on my shoulder, or my sleeve, whatever you want to say, or I used to all the time. I'm pretty honest. I'm pretty straightforward with pretty much everybody I come in contact with. And I'm basically that same guy. Like I don't hold a lot of shit back when I'm talking to people. I'm honest with people. I'm very nice to people, but I'm also very upfront and honest. I don't like to really bullshit people at all. And so when I'm mad, you know, people know I'm mad. When I'm upset, they know I'm upset. When I'm flustered, they can fucking tell I'm flustered. I don't often get flustered though these days. I really don't. I don't really honestly get mad these days. I don't get rattled fucking ever. I mean, I really honestly can't remember the last time I got rattled. It was probably like fucking 7 years ago, something like that, right? I just don't get upset, really. I don't get rattled. Don't really get angry too often, because I've learned to condition myself not to be. I used to be very reactive, very emotional. I still, like I said, I'm very upfront, and you can tell the mood I'm in, and typically I'm in a great mood. Typically I'm pretty happy and joking, and that's how I like to be in life. I like to take things not so seriously, and I like to have a good time, and I like to enjoy, and I like to tease people and joke around and, you know, make fun of myself too, and that's how I am. But I, you know, when I'm upset, you'll know I'm upset. When there's something wrong, I'll say that there's something wrong. I have no problem at all with calling somebody out or you know, saying what has to be said if it has to be said. But that said, I wasn't always this way, and it took me a while to get over it. And going, I guess, through high school, maybe sophomore, I think it was actually junior year, there was this girl. I sat next to her in class. Here's another good story. I sat next to her in class, and she was really cute. She you know, told me I was cute, so that was a good sign. Sat next to her in class. She was like one of those outgoing girls too, which, like, you know, back at the time I had fucking no confidence, so I wasn't going to do anything. You know, this was actually like right around the time right before the time I'd been really anxious and depressed and was going through all these problems. So needless to say, I really didn't have that much confidence, and I absolutely had fucking zero game. So that wasn't going to happen, as far as me hitting on her and, you know, being the Mac Daddy and getting her number and all this other shit. That totally wasn't happening. But so she was one of those outgoing girls. We sat next to each other in class. She's flirting. I was kind of flirting with her a little bit. I was cute, you know, good looking guy. I was 17 years old. You know, good looking guy. I was going to the gym and in good shape. And she thought I was cute, gave me her number, was texting me all the time. And probably for a couple of weeks, I forget, this is in one of the books I wrote too, by the way. It's either in Approaching Women or it's in Giving Shy Guys Game, a couple of dating books I wrote way back when. This story's in it. So if I mess up one of the details, don't quote me on it. But it was basically like a couple of weeks going back and forth. We're talking, we're having a good time through text anyways. Like, I'm thinking this girl's like my next girlfriend. She fucking likes me a lot. Like, this is so cool because I had no other girls that I really talked to. I was very shy. I was very insecure, etc. She's talking to me for a few weeks. Things are going great. I think, like, this is the girl of my fucking dreams. I'm going to marry her. This is so cool. She loves me. She's texting me all the time. Eventually, after a couple of weeks of this back and forth, maybe a week or so, 2 weeks, whatever, I don't know, we're going back and forth, and eventually she says something like, you know, we're going to go to the movies or whatever, so we have plans. We end up setting up this date to go to the movies together, and I don't recall exactly what had happened, what had transpired, like, the day before or that day of, but I do recall later on when I learned some of the dating skills and did research into improving my dating life and learning all this dating advice from dating coaches and pickup artists online and all this other shit, I'd learned right away that I was a fucking complete chode, like, loser through text and had absolutely zero text game. So I was just saying the dumbest shit you could possibly imagine. I do remember that. So I don't recall the exact text. It'd be pretty cool to go back in time or if I just had somehow, like, saved that on some SIM card or whatever and I could pull those up. But I do remember that these texts that I was sending this girl were absolutely fucking horrible and just made me look like a complete loser. So everything I said was, like, just ass kissing. It was agreeing with the things she said. It was, like, asking her, like, oh, what do you want to do? Like, oh, like, she's saying, like, oh, do you want to go to the movies or something? And I was like, oh, yeah, sure. If you want to go, we can go. Or, you know, what movie do you want to watch? Oh, whatever you want to watch. I forget her. I think I actually do remember her name, but I'm not going to say it. So we'll just say her name's Jane because it's not Jane. So it was like, yeah, Jane, like, we can think of, you know, whatever you can think of, we'll go to that movie. You know, I just want to make you happy. And, you know, I'm texting this girl for like a fucking week or two, and I'm already acting like we've been married for like 30 years. And I'm just saying the lamest shit possible in these texts. So long story short, this goes on for a week or two, and I don't even know how it lasted that long now that I think about it now, but I'm just totally putting up the worst possible dating game you could have in a 17-year-old man, young man's arsenal. And she, for some reason, stuck around that long. But on the day of, we're supposed to go to the movies. I text her, and she doesn't respond. And I wait like maybe an hour or something, text her back. And I forget, I wish I remember the exact details, but I mean, this is the gist of the story. Say we were supposed to go out at like 5 to the movies or something, 5 at night. I texted her at like, you know, 12, and she didn't answer. And I texted her at like 1, she didn't answer. And I texted her again maybe at around like 2 or 2:30, saying like, oh, Jane, I hope everything's okay. Like, I tried to text you a couple of times. Did you get those texts? It's me, Justin, you know, I hope everything's going well with you. And then fucking nothing, you know, silence again for probably another hour. I probably texted her once again or went to the call, but we'll say I texted her again, cause I probably did. Probably texted her again around 3 or 4. Hey Jane, hope everything's okay. Now you have me really worried. Yeah. I haven't heard back from you all day. Do you still want to go to the movies? Again, fucking radio silence. There's absolutely nothing. Like, this girl does not want to answer her phone or reply back. And me, being the delusional asshole that I was, thought that she actually was still interested and that something really happened. Like, this girl, something catastrophic has happened to this poor girl. She's been in an accident. She's come down with a life-threatening disease or ailment or illness, and she has been hospitalized, and something, you know, incredibly bad has happened. So, being the do-good 17-year-old young man that I am, I start blowing up her phone and I start calling her endlessly, like, you know, ringing, and, you know, I must have called her 3 or 4 times in a row and left her a couple of voicemails to top it off, asking her or hoping, praying that this girl was okay and that, you know, as soon as she was able to return my call back, to immediately call me back, because I'm so sickeningly worried about her health and her well-being. And, you know, 5 o'clock rolls around. I'm still, you know, worried for her. And, you know, obviously at this point, I'm getting anxious myself. But 5 o'clock rolls around, nothing. 6 o'clock comes around, nothing. 7, 8, 9, 10, nothing. Eventually, I think around midnight, I get to the point where it kind of dawns on me that this girl blew me off and that she probably isn't actually sick, because, or, you know, nothing really happened, because her phone has been ringing, or her phone was ringing. And I probably did call her a couple more times. I don't remember. But her phone had been ringing the whole time, and the text had been delivered. Even way back then, this is 10 years ago now, when texting was just kind of starting off. Even back then, the sending rate, the deliverability of the text was like fucking 99%. So all the texts went through, all my calls went through, my voicemails went through. I think it dawned on me around midnight that this girl had fucking blown me off. And as it turns out, she did. So the next day... Weirdest thing ever, though. Like, even to this day, it's kind of fucking weird. Even to this day, I don't understand this girl's reaction. Like, she could have just answered the phone or texted me back and been like, you know, dude, you're a fucking complete loser. Leave me alone. You have no game. She could have did that. She could have left me voicemail. She could have did any number of things. But what she actually did was kind of funnier and strangely weirder. But the next day, I go in class, and, you know, at this point, I definitely know for a fact she blew me off. Sit next to the girl in class, mind you. So for the next... you know, 3 months or so, this was towards the beginning of the semester, the term, for the next 3 months or so, not only do we not speak about what had happened, we don't even fucking talk, we don't even say a word, we don't even look at each other. For the next 3 months or so, this girl is facing forward in her desk, her seat, I'm facing forward in my desk and seat, and we're basically parallel, like within a fucking arm's reach away, 2-3 feet away. And we don't fucking look nor say a word to each other and pretend like, not even pretend, because it was awkward as shit. If we pretended like it didn't happen, it wouldn't be so awkward. But we just sort of shittily acted like it didn't happen for the next 3 months. And it was fucking awkward as hell every single day that I went into that class and had to sit next to that girl, because she blew me off. She knew she blew me off. I knew she blew me off. And she never even spoke about blowing me off again the rest of her life, nor did I want to bring it up, because I felt like a complete idiot. You know, I was a complete idiot, and I felt like the complete idiot that I was that entire time. But actually, as it turns out, the funny thing is, this story sort of has a happy ending, because it was that day, the day that she blew me off was the day I started researching how to get better with women. I actually Googled that term, how to get good or how to get better with women, and sort of embarked on this self-help journey of becoming good with fucking girls, like how to actually have some game, like how to not be a complete loser, fucking chode on the text game, and how to be a man, and how to have good general game, good flirting, good attraction, good eye contact, good body language, good confidence. All that shit ensued in the, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 months after that, and then year or two after, like 2, 3 years after that point, I had fucking an unbelievable game and could basically, not every girl, but could basically go up and attract almost every girl I went up to. And it was because, I mean, that was basically the trigger for all of it to happen. So like many things in life, or almost, you know, basically all things in life, this was a true blessing in disguise. So needless to say, that was at the time it happened, it was fucking terrible. It hurt. It really did hurt a lot. It stung. But it in the long run, it helped me out. That was the thing that triggered a lot of change, a lot of massive change in my life, and helped me become the man I am today for sure. But it was really one of the key moments in my life in terms of rejection and in terms of failure. The last thing, I'll share another story too, real quick story. I hope you guys are liking these stories and they don't completely suck, because I think there's a lot of value in telling stories. I think they're entertaining. They're kind of funny to look back on and make fun of myself, but I also think there's a lot of value in them. A lot of you guys listening probably have gone through similar things. Maybe not the exact same thing. Maybe you weren't as bad as me. Maybe you didn't call her, 10 times in the same day, or text her 10 times and it be as naive. Maybe you weren't as naive as I was, thinking that there's something really happened to this girl, because, you know, we all fucking knew that nothing really happened. And I think even in the back of my mind, I kind of knew nothing had happened and that she was blowing me off, but I didn't want to believe it. But we've all been through things like this in our lives, and we've all faced similar rejections to this, but how you deal with those rejections is really the deciding factor. I like to say this too a lot. You're going to face rejection. You're going to face failure, no matter what. In any aspect of life, whether that's social failure, whether that's business failure, whether that's your health at times, you know, getting sick, personal failures, whatever it is, you will face failure. You will face rejection. It's a part of life. It's just, you know, how it is. You have good days. You have bad days. You have good things happen to you. You have shitty things happen to you. It's going to happen to you. Just like it rains. If you step outside, it rains. It's going to rain no matter what. Some days it'll be sunny, you know, like 4th of July this year. It's going to be fucking beautiful. I think it's going to be 85, 90, not a cloud in the sky. I'm going to absolutely love it. Some days it'll be like that. Some days it'll be beautiful, like 4th of July days, and you'll just have a great day, and it'll be fucking fantastic. Other days it's going to be shitty. It's going to thunderstorm. It's going to pour. It might even fucking, you know, hail on you. But it's how you deal with that. It's how you react to that that is the deciding factor. If you want to be like me when I was 17 years old and you want to be a fucking weirdo and pretend like you didn't get rejected, well, not even pretend. Like I said, it was more just like a shitty form of acting. It wasn't even, because if I can pretend that something doesn't affect me, and it doesn't affect me because I'm like, you know what? It's not going to affect me, and it's not going to. That's kind of like, you know, how I defined pretend in that situation in this regard. But in terms of like shitty acting and like, you know, just being super awkward. And every single day, by the way, I went into that class, it was fucking awkward. It was really, really weird having to sit next to this girl. And I dreaded every single day. I dreaded, like, for the hour or two leading up to that class, I dreaded going into that class. And then the hour or so, I think it was like hour and 15 minute class or whatever, that hour and 15 minute fucking sucked. Those hour and 15 minutes dragged by, and it was so weird and so uncomfortable, trust me. So you could either choose to face your rejection or face your failures in that term and in that regard, I guess, and just be super weird about it and not learn from it and not grow from it and not take any life lessons out of it. You can do it that way and you know, whatever, fucking, I think it's horrible, but you can certainly do that. Or you can choose to learn from that. You can choose to see your mistakes. You can choose to analyze some of the things you did wrong and then go out and seek the advice of people who have been there, who have done those things in the past, and see what it is you can do better, what you can do right the next time. Like in terms of, you know, ketogenic diet shit, go out and fucking research, man. Go do your research. Or I have a course on this. I'm not going to, pitch you my course, but I have a course. It's called naturaldatingblueprint.com. It's called Natural Dating Blueprint. You can find it at naturaldatingblueprint.com. I talk about all this shit. Guys like me, dating coaches. I don't really do the dating stuff anymore, but I've done dating coaching for many years. I've helped many, 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 probably thousands of guys now at this point figure out these problems, figure out their dating problems. There's other guys like me. There's other dating guys out there, dating coaches who know their shit, who know how to help you, who know how to teach you like text game and teach you basic fucking attraction game and teach you basic conversational skills and things like that. There's plenty of guys out there. There's no excuse for you to continually make these same mistakes. It took me, like I mentioned earlier, probably 12 years old, I started fucking making these mistakes with girls and letting these problems get to me. It wasn't until I was about 18, 6 years later, that I fucking figured these problems out, that I actually put my foot down and realized that, I gotta make a fucking change here. There's a lot of things I'm doing wrong. It's not like, there's no pattern here. There certainly is a pattern of me repeatedly making the same mistakes and not learning from them. And it wasn't until I started learning from them and getting the right information that I saw change. I didn't actually stop seeing rejection with women. That didn't come for a while. I mean, even now, you'll never stop having rejection with women. It's just how you deal with that rejection. So when I got the right information, when I got the information that I needed, the advice, and I listened to dating coaches and even some pickup artists who back in the day were good and helped me out a ton, when I started listening to these guys, I took the rejections as a way to fucking grow, as a way to learn, as a way to improve myself in my dating life. It wasn't just like a rejection that hit me and stung me and lasted, weeks or months on end and that I didn't, learn from or grow from or evolve from and become a better skilled dating person from. It became every single rejection from that point forward, from that day that girl blew me off like that, every single rejection became a learning lesson and became a lesson on how to improve my dating life. And that's why I got good at dating. And that's why I got good really fast, because I threw myself into the fire. I realized, I don't know exactly where I got it from, but I got it back then from somebody, either in the dating community or the pickup artist community. Somebody somewhere said something about putting yourself out there and getting rejected. And I just fucking took that and ran with it, because from that point forward, I threw myself into the fire. I got rejected time and time again. But every single time I got rejected, I learned. I learned something new. I became a better, more socially, conversationally, attractionally, that is not a fucking word, but attractively, I guess, better, more refined man. I became better skilled, and every single time I had an interaction socially, whether even from guys, even from women I wasn't attracted to, every single time I had a social interaction, it was a learning lesson for me. It was a lesson. It was basically like going to school and fucking learning. You're taking math class, and every single day you go in, you learn a new equation or a new formula. You learn how to do this. You learn how to add. You learn how to multiply. You learn how to do all kinds of shit every single day. So every single conversation was like a math class, a new math class, and a new day in math where I would learn a new formula, a new equation, a new technique, a new skill, a new strategy that I could implement here or there, or say these different things or these different techniques, or use a different tone, a different body language, positioning, whatever it was. I was learning something new every single time. And from that point where I got rejected from that girl and I had to sit next to her in class, from that point forward, every single thing in my life changed. It wasn't like immediately this heavens open up and I see fucking some crazy angel and, I had that like buzzing sound that you hear on TV, like, and everything's like holy and something. It wasn't like that. It wasn't a divine experience by any means. But from that point forward, I made sure that it was a profound experience and something that changed my life, and it totally did. So, again, I don't even know. Did I mention this before? I hope I didn't. But I was going where I was going with that initially, before I got a little sidetracked, was it's going to rain no matter what. You're going to have your shitty days. You're going to have your good days, but it's going to rain no matter what. And if you are able to handle that, if you are able to deal with all the bullshit, if you know how to handle rejection, you know how to handle failure. It's like having an umbrella when it pours out. You can walk by and, you know, it's still raining. You haven't stopped the rain. We haven't, you know, in 2018 or anytime soon, we haven't found out how to manipulate the rain and manipulate the weather. I think I've heard, you know, conspiracy theorists or some people, I think in India or whatever, who are super rich. I heard it on somewhere that they can do it already or that they're about to be able to do it. I don't know if that's fucking true, but the mainstream media has not covered that to my attention, and I think we're probably some years off from that happening. But we haven't been able to stop the clouds. We haven't been able to stop the rain, and it's going to rain no matter what. So using this analogy, what I'm trying to do here is give you the umbrella. Have you be fucking rejection-proof, rain-proof, because you have that umbrella. You have the ability to block it off and let it slide right off you. It's going to hit you. It's going to hit the umbrella. It's not going to hit you. You're not even going to get wet. It's going to slide right past you. It's going to keep raining. You're going to have your shitty days. You're going to have your failures. You're going to have your rejections. But it's going to slide right off you, and you're going to be unharmed, and you're going to be totally fucking cool with pushing yourself continually every day because of this ability to just let it bounce right off you and not let it affect you. And that's really the most important thing. That's one of the biggest takeaways to today's episode, is having that umbrella, having that ability to just let it slide right off you. Like, let it fucking not affect you. You're just going by, you're pushing yourself, you're going through life, you're having these things, good days, it's going to be great and sunny, you know, things are going to be awesome. You're going to have those days too, most of the time anyways. And then you're going to have those shitty days where it pours, it fucking hails, it's shitty out. It's going to snow too sometimes, but if you have that umbrella, you'll be fine. You'll be able to hold off, and you'll be able to just keep going by and doing what you have to do. I want to take a quick second to, we're going to get back to this in a moment, and I'm going to tell you that story too, which I mentioned in a moment ago, my last real failure story that I want to share with you. This is a pretty good one. But before you do that, I do want to mention, if you haven't signed up for the Elite Man newsletter yet, go to elitemanmagazine.com/newsletter and get, sign yourself up for it right now. Get all of our best podcast information, sneak peeks into upcoming episodes, behind the scenes content, special offers, and exclusive Elite Man updates you won't find anywhere else. I'm telling you, if you're not on our newsletter yet, you are absolutely missing out. So make sure you go to elitemanmagazine.com/newsletter and become a true member of the Elite Man community. And I am going to be a lot more active in the newsletter in the upcoming months and going forward. But as it stands right now, I do drop one broadcast out every week. So you get one newsletter from me every week. But in the coming weeks and months and in the future going forward, you'll probably get two or three, because I want to stay a little more connected with you guys going forward. So, needless to say, jump on that elitemanmagazine.com/newsletter and sign yourself up. It is a fantastic newsletter and helps you stay more active. It helps me communicate with you more actively. You know, of course, we have Facebook and Instagram at Justin Stenstrom on both of those, which I'm very active on and post regularly on as well. If you haven't followed me now. But the newsletter is just, you know, cool in its own way. And it has a lot of bonus content that I'm not going to put out anywhere else. I want to have you guys, I want to give people that are on the newsletter shit that you're not going to find anywhere else. So it's pretty cool to have that extra dose of Elite Man content. So sign yourself up if you haven't yet. But going back to that story that I mentioned a few moments ago, the last real rejection story I want to share with you, and that is, I think I was, 19 or 20, right? So I'm going through all this shit. Let me take a sip of water real quick. Ah, beautiful. This is good. I really do have a lot of fun doing these podcast episodes solo. I mean, it's just a good switch up. It's really cool. I like talking to you guys more. I like giving you a little more of my backstory and kind of sharing some narrative with you that I don't get to typically talk about on the podcast. As an interviewer, I try to do my best to pick the brains of the guests coming on the show. So I kind of take a step back. I like to take that seat back, and I like to just pretend as if I'm you, like I'm you guys listening. I want to think of all the right questions to ask this person. We have, you know, about 60 minutes. Sometimes a little longer, sometimes a little less, to pick the brain of the expert that comes on the show. And I want to make sure I get as much as possible out of the guest that comes on. I don't want to just, you know, ask them a couple questions and then me just take over the episode and have my input on what we're talking about. Because typically when I bring somebody on, it's because it's for a specific reason and I want them to cover a topic that they're an expert on. And they're probably better than, you know, 99.9% of the world in that area, and they can cover that area fucking really well. So I want to set them up. I want to give them good questions. I want to give them questions that you guys are thinking of, questions that I'm thinking of, and put together an episode that really makes sense to dive into the way they think and how they process things and how we can learn from them. Going back to what I said originally, how we can learn from the things that they learned over the years and how we can take that shortcut to get better at what they're trying to teach us. So, a lot of the time, I mean, I kind of take a seat back, and I don't mind taking a seat back. I like being, you know, just the interviewer guy and putting in my two cents here and there and saying, you know, some cool, clever shit from time to time. But it's I spotlight, you know, I put the spotlight on the guests, and I really like to showcase their expertise for you guys. So, you know, with that said, it's cool to switch things up and do these solo episodes. I like to talk a little more. Sometimes I like to talk too much. But yeah, it is fun. It's certainly a good time, and I like chatting with you guys. And the last few episodes I've did that were solo, you guys, a number of you guys reached out to me and said, you know, how much you enjoyed those episodes, which, you know, makes me want to continue to do them. So if you guys had reached out to me and said these episodes sucked, I would just, you know, fucking stop doing them, because whatever. I understand. I'm going to go with the trend and what people want. But as it turns out, you guys said you liked them. And I'm going to continue to do them periodically. They're fun. So if you don't like them, shoot me a message. If you do like them, shoot me a message too, because I want to hear your feedback on what you like and what you don't like, and maybe what I can improve. But anyways, going back to the failure rejection story, I think I was actually about 19, 20, going to a motorcycle course. It was me, my best friend, and my brother. And I had never, so I have my motorcycle license. I've had it now, I guess, for 7 or 8 years. And I'm a really good rider, actually. I'm very careful, very cautious. But I go, you know, I go pretty fast. I like to kind of, you know, go fast. It's a motorcycle. They're quick. I like to go pretty fast. But I'm also very careful, and I'm very safe on the thing. So whatever. That's how I ride motorcycles. I love them. I've been driving now or riding now for a number of years. But when I'd first signed up for the class, this was, you know, years ago, I had never had any experience. I never drove a standard, and I never drove or rode a four-wheeler or quad or a dirt bike. So I had absolutely no idea how the whole process worked of having to operate the manual, like the gears. I couldn't compartmentalize the process of the gears, like one down, you know, one half up is a middle, is neutral, and then, you know, up after that is second gear, third gear, fourth, and then fifth, etc. Like, that whole thing was just so foreign to me. And I'd never been on a dirt bike, so I didn't know how to, like, you know, keep balance or anything like that. And I'd never been on a quad, which would have gave me kind of some of the feel for using the throttle and, you know, using the other, you know, right hand for the throttle and then the left hand for the clutch, and then the brakes are down by your left foot, I mean, by your right foot. And, this whole thing was just totally foreign to me, and I had no fucking idea how to do it. So long story short, we go to the class, and there's about 20 of us in the class. I'm absolutely fucking horrible at this class. Like, I fucking suck. I am the worst one in this class. My brother picks it up really quickly. I think he had some practice with riding. I think he had a car that was a standard, so he just picked up the clutch thing really quickly. My best friend at the time had been on dirt bikes and quads and stuff his whole life, so, I mean, it was fucking, he was the best one in the class, actually. He picked it right up. This class was actually 2 days long, two full days. It was probably from 8 in the morning to, say, 5 at night for 2 days. It was Saturday and a Sunday. Saturday, we're in... The first maybe hour or so was like in the classroom setting, like just learning dumb shit and, like, you know, where everything is on the bike and just stuff like that, like classroom work. The rest of the time was out, like, doing the field work, like out in the parking lot and actually trying to, you know, maneuver these little motorcycles. They're like 250 cc's, tiny motorcycles, but, you know, for someone just starting off, and someone like me who had absolutely fucking no idea how to ride it, you know, they're big enough. 250 cc is big enough. So we're all out there, 20 of us, is the, you know, my best friend, my brother, and then 17 other people that were taking the class. And we're just turning the bike on and walking the bike across and doing something called a duck walk. And it's probably like 100 feet where we just let go. We turn the bike on, we pull the clutch out, and we just kind of, like, slowly walk the bike. Like, not even putting any throttle on, just getting familiar with balancing the bike and holding it up and letting off the clutch so it can move, and just like slowly moving it, you know, a couple feet at a time. So we're all doing this, we're all lined up, we're moving the bike across, and I move it up very slowly, and I'm fucking nervous too, because I mean the bikes are loud. I'm just starting off, bikes are loud. There's 20 bikes lined up. Everybody in the class, I already knew everybody was going to be better than me. I didn't know that they were going to be exponentially better than me. I was fucking horrible at this. So everybody does this, and it takes them maybe like 30 seconds for them to get from where we started to the finish line, 100 feet away. And I look up, and I'm like, you know, 15 feet in, and it's like, holy shit, everybody's already done, and I'm fucking way behind here. I'm like lagging so far behind. I'm like 15% of the, I'm 15% done while everyone else is 100% finished. And so I'm like, you know, kind of getting a little nervous and, you know, being the total newbie dumbass that I am at the time, I'm like, all right, let me just, you know, just touch this throttle thing and kind of pick up the pace here because I'm so far behind. So I make the terrible mistake of, I think I popped out the clutch, or I just like let go of it a lot. And for some reason, I don't even know if I had meant to really do the throttle thing, but for some reason I had throttled it and had let go of the clutch. So it wasn't just like a walk across. I wasn't just walking at this point. I'd actually inadvertently fucking throttled the bike. So it actually was riding. I was actually riding this bike after being exposed to it for like 10 minutes and having no fucking idea of how to ride it. Having no fucking idea of how to hold it up and walk across. Never mind, ride the thing. But I had inadvertently made myself ride this bike. And yeah, if you can tell where this is going, I've kind of foreshadowed what's going to happen. And that is that probably 15 feet later of riding this bike, I fucking crashed it. And I was it was face first into the pavement. And, you know, we all had helmets on, of course, but yeah, I crashed the little 250 bike. I got yelled at by the instructor, and I felt like a complete fool. I felt like a complete idiot. I mean, I was a complete idiot for doing that, but it felt horrible. Like I didn't, you know, I was all scared, of course, because I had just crashed, and I was like kind of like shaking up. I wasn't hurt, but I was shaking up. I look over, my brother and my fucking best friend are laughing at me. Which, you know, I would have been doing the same, so I can't really, get mad at them now, because I would have been laughing at them too. It wasn't a real crash. It was just you know, you're an idiot, you just dumped the bike kind of thing. But that was it. Like, so that was at the beginning of the class. The instructor pulled me aside. He yelled at me at first, you know, he pulled me aside, and he kind of made me go even slower than everybody else. So I basically had, I did everything like half speed from that point forward. Everybody else was doing their own thing and they were learning shit and they were doing it good and they were picking it up. I didn't pick up really that much because I was like so shaken up after that point, but I still went through everything that they did. I just did it like on a juvenile level, like on a very slow, fucking tedious, like, you're not going to pass this course, but we're going to kind of make you still go through the motions level. Because you take a test, the thing is you take the test on the second day, on the Sunday, at the end of the day. You take like this little course and you got like 20 points or whatever. And I forget what the thing is. You either have to get a 20 score or you have to get a 1 score. I forget how they do it. You might have to get, the lower the score, the better. Like every time you mess up, you might get a point or something. If you get like 20 points, you fail. So whatever it is, it's something like that. You got to take the test the next day after the 2 instruction days. I was fucking certain I was going to fail. Everybody in that class was certain I was going to fail. My brother, my best friend, they were certain I was going to fail. I was fucking pissed because it was like a $300 course and I just wasted $300. But I went home that day, you know, after like 5 o'clock or whatever, whenever the first day ended. I went home that day and decided that I wasn't going to just fucking sit back and let myself fail. I wasn't going to just give in and give up and say, you know, I'll try this again maybe in a few months when I get a little more confident, or you know, when I get sick of seeing my brother and my best friend ride around on their motorcycles and I have fucking nothing to do while they're out riding and having fun for the next few months, then maybe I'll go back in and sign up for the class. I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to fucking just give in and give up right then and there. So when I went home that day, I actually remember immediately, like, I had a snack, maybe a bite of a sandwich or something. I had like a quick bite of food because we had been there all day and hadn't eaten a thing. I had a quick bite of food, and then immediately pulled open my laptop and sat down for like the next 7 hours straight and just researched everything I possibly could about motorcycles, about riding motorcycles, about getting familiar with motorcycles, about knowing all the parts to a motorcycle, about using the clutch, about using the brakes, about using the throttle, about how beginner riders can learn, like the best way to learn it, and you know, how new people who haven't been familiar with using a clutch can use that. Everything you could possibly think of regarding motorcycles and riding and getting used to riding and becoming a good rider for a new rider who hasn't ridden a fucking thing in his life, I researched. I did every single fucking possible thing I could for the next 7 hours or so, and just researched it. And by the end of that day, when I went to bed, probably one in the morning, two in the morning, I'd literally spent, you know, from that day when we went into class, it was like 9 a.m. till when I went to bed or whatever, I spent the entire day just researching. And I remember waking up early the next day. So we had to be there by like 9 in the morning. I remember waking up early the next day, probably at like 5 or 6 in the morning, and making sure I got a couple more minutes in, a couple more hours in, actually, of doing some research. So I was like, in my mind, I'd researched all night. I went to bed. I woke up, and in my mind, I was like processing, like visualizing how to work the clutch, how to work the throttle, how to work the brake, where to put my foot, how to work the gears. I was just doing everything in my mind, so I'd already visualized how I was going to do it in class when we had to get on those bikes and actually ride them up a little bit, you know, do the duck walk, but then actually start to ride them, because at the end of that day, you got to ride those bikes around, and you got to pass that test, or you're failing. Now, we went to class, and when class started the next day, it was still fucking tough, but I actually had an idea of how to do it. The day before, I had absolutely no idea what I was doing, and I was like scared and nervous the whole time, and I just couldn't figure it out in my mind. I couldn't wrap my mind around how everything worked, how your hands worked, and the hand-eye coordination and all that stuff. I didn't have the neuroplasticity to pull it off and actually understand it. But when the next day started, I wasn't fucking good. Actually, I still sucked. But for the first time, I had an idea of how it all worked, and I just remember focusing, dialing in on everything the instructor was saying, and I got kind of caught up to speed. I didn't have to do like the slow, juvenile, whatever, little kiddie kind of way of doing things. Like I just kind of went with everybody else and started doing what they were doing. And as the day went on, I went from thinking like, you know, I'm gonna fucking fail this thing horribly. I shouldn't even take the test because I'm probably gonna crash. As the day went on, I went to thinking that, to thinking that, you know what, there's a chance I might actually pass this thing. I might actually get my motorcycle license by the end of the day. I didn't know if I was actually going to be able to do it, but I was starting to think that there was a chance I could. So as the day went on, I focused in, I dialed in, I tried hard. I literally outworked everybody in that class because I had to. They were all better than me. I absolutely had to outwork them, and I did. By the time 5 o'clock rolled around, the class wrapped up and the test came, you know, we each had to do our little thing one at a time. By the time that time came, I was feeling not confident. Actually, I wasn't confident at all, but I was feeling like there's a decent chance I'm going to pass this thing. Like there was a 50-50 shot. I might actually fucking do this thing. And, you know, 24 hours before that point, I was just, like, scared to death. Like, I had made a huge mistake even signing up because I was 100% going to fail. So the test comes around. Everybody goes up. I'm, like, one of the last ones to go. My brother goes through. He gets, like, say, if 20 is the failing score and, you know, the lower the number, the better. My brother goes in. He gets, like, a 10, and he passes with flying colors. A couple of the other people, there was one guy, he got like a 4 or 5. He was really good. You know, he passed with flying colors. My buddy got like a 3 or 4. He actually got the best score because, like I said, he was, you know, dirt bike rider, all this other stuff. He's really good. So he got like a 3 or 4. He smoked the test. A couple people got like 15s and 16s and they passed. I get up there. I fuck up on a couple of things. I'm nervous a little bit, but I keep my composure. I keep my focus. I have a belief, not a great belief, but a belief in myself that I can probably do it, or I might be able to do it, and I stick with it, and as it turns out, I get a fucking 19, a 19 out of 20, just barely pass the thing, but I pass, and I get my license, and from that point forward, like, it wasn't like I just got a bike and, you know, hit the road and started going fast and was a great rider. No, actually, I spent, like, the next couple of months going to back roads and parking lots and just working my ass off, and practicing everything I learned in that little class in those 48 hours. And I became a great rider because I put in the time, I put in the effort, and I learned from my mistakes. I learned from my failure. I learned from my rejection. I actually learned really quickly. So in the past, I probably would have actually just gave in and been like, yeah, fuck it. You know, maybe I'll try this next season or next summer. It's not going to happen this year. But at that age point, I was like 19, 20 years old. This had been right after I'd learned how to get good with women. It had been right after I'd beaten my depression and anxiety problems. It was after those times of great struggle, of rejection, failure. I had had a new mindset at success. I had a new framework of what was possible and what I could do. And again, I wasn't fucking great. I got a 19. I mean, I barely passed the damn thing, but I passed because of my mindset, because I shifted my belief and I shifted what I thought possible. I didn't give in to what was naturally calling me, drawing me. I was naturally drawn to failing that class. Trust me, I should have failed that class. But because I put in the work, because I learned from my mistakes, because I looked at that rejection as a way for me to actually fucking grow from, as a way for me to step up and take charge and research and do the work, put the work in, even if it was just in that one little, you know, shortened time frame, it's exactly what I'm talking about here. It's exactly what you have to do when you face rejection. If you face rejection and you don't want to fail at something, you have to make some fucking changes and you have to take some action. You have to do some research. You have to take, you have to find those sources, those people who have done those things that you've already done, and you have to follow their advice. You know, shorten down the time of failure, of messing up by borrowing the failures and mess ups of other people. See what they've done. See what they did, you know, messed up and that didn't work. See what they've done that they did right, that's working for them great, that makes them an expert in what they're doing, and learn from those people. You can learn from any rejection you have. You just have to apply yourself and take action on that and make a point that you're not just going to give in. You can continue to give in and whatever you're failing at. You can continue to give in and the many obstacles life throws your way. And that's fine. You can be a regular person, because most people are like that. But if you want to be an elite man, if you want to be someone who gets shit that they want, who gets the most out of life, who becomes the best version of themselves, you really have to get down this skill of learning from your failures, the skill of learning from your rejections, the skill of learning from other people who have been there before you, who have done the things that you want to do, who have achieved and had those successes that you long to have. That's what we're talking about here. That's what rejection is all about. It's learning from these lessons and being able to become the best man you can be, become unstoppable from those things, because nothing can hold you back. When you really are rejection proof, when, like I said, you're going to have these rejections, you're going to have these failures, but when you can get past these things without them holding you back, and when you're learning from those things, you are rejection proof and you become unstoppable. There's nothing, absolutely nothing in this world that can stop you. I've had countless rejections in my life, whether that was from school or women or tests or social situations, parties, non-invites, not chosen for different team sports, even the business, even Elite Man Magazine for the first couple of years was a total failure. I launched the site thinking a ton of people were going to come on. It was going to change my life. I was going to be a celebrity. I was going to be famous. I was going to be rich. I was going to be cool. It took me 2 fucking years before people really started coming to the site and actually buying anything. I didn't have like my first paying clients. I mean, I had like maybe 1 or 2 in those 2 years, but I didn't have any consistent clients for a couple of years, for like 2 years. And it was probably 3 years into the business that I actually really started getting consistent traffic. I started building the site. The podcast came around. I started growing the podcast. Like it took a while, man, before I was able to see success in business. And you hear it all the time. Like it takes, 3 to 5 years for a business to be successful, for a business to be profitable. It was absolutely the case with me. Like 3 years really for the business to even be semi-profitable. And man, it was a fucking long, hard journey to get to that point. I was very naive in the beginning of that. But like we're talking about here, I learned from that. I didn't let those initial failures hold me back. I didn't let the non-traffic, the non-visitors, the non-customers for a couple of years, I didn't let those deter me. I was very very relentless, very persistent in my goal to succeed in this, my goal to make this happen. It was what I wanted to do. It's still what I want to do. I love doing this stuff. So when you're passionate about something, when you really want to succeed in something, you'll do anything you can to make it happen. And the important thing is that you continue to learn. If you continue to do the same things over and over again, I think Einstein has that quote where I forget exactly what it is, but if you do the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result, something like that. I mean, it's true. If you continue to do the same things over and over again and think you're going to get better at it, then you're fucking insane. There's something, there's something wrong with you. There's something there that you're missing and that you have to fix. If you want to see success and you're doing the same thing over and over again and it's not fucking working, you're seeing failure and failure, you have to switch things up. You have to find different people. You have to find experts who have done things that you want to achieve. Maybe it's the experts you're following and their advice, just sucks. So in that case, you got to find different experts. You got to find different people who maybe resonate with you better, or maybe their advice is better suited for you and what you're doing. But if you continue to do the same shit, you follow the same guys over and over again, and for the last 3, 4, 5 years, you're doing the same shit. You're trying the same stuff. Whatever it is, we're just talking business now, but you're doing the same business stuff over and over again. I mean, that is insane. You're not going anywhere. Stop doing that type of thing. Maybe even, you got to switch paths, and you got to switch your whole business philosophy. Maybe the product or the service you offer is just not fucking sellable. It's just not what people want. Maybe your idea is flawed, and it was flawed from the get-go. And I hate to say it, but maybe you got to find something else. But before you do that, before you get to that point, I recommend trying a number of different things first. I don't recommend just giving up on your idea, especially if it's your passion. That could be, end game kind of thing after you try a number of things. I do recommend instead trying different things first and experimenting with things until you find something that sticks and that works for you. It took me a few years before I found things that worked for me. But I was continually trying things and I was giving them a fair shake too. I wasn't just, bouncing from one thing to another every single week. I was giving them a few months, like trying different techniques, philosophies, strategies, SEO things, social media things, marketing things, different. I mean, every single thing you could think of, I was trying, giving it, a couple months of trying it out. If it didn't work for me, if I wasn't doing it right, whatever, I fucked it up, I would try something else. Eventually, again, it took me probably 3 years or so, but eventually I got to the point where things started just fucking working for me, and I've took that stuff and I ran with it ever since. And that's why I'm successful in the Elite Man brand. That's why I'm successful with Elite Man magazine, Elite Man podcast, is because I was constantly learning from the mistakes I was making and constantly not being afraid to try different things and see what else other people were doing that was working for them. So I certainly switch things up, and I recommend you do the same thing if you're not seeing success in those areas. But the one thing you have to remember too is having that drive to succeed. If you do something and you're not passionate about it, if you don't really give a shit about it, it's going to be really tough for you to be successful no matter what you do, no matter what technique or strategy you implement. If you're not passionate about that, if you don't have the drive to make that fucking thing happen, then it's not going to happen. That's something too I dabbled around with way back when, probably 5, 6 years ago, when I was just kind of fucking around with websites. I would do like these little niche websites back when those were popular, and I'd do just different things that I wasn't passionate about. I had a couple of shitty little websites, and I put up a couple little articles, and I was always trying to figure out how to like quickly make money online if it was possible, and watching these YouTube videos and stuff like that. And man, it was such a waste of time thinking about it now, but being younger and more naive too, even back 6 years ago or so, I was always doing these like things to see what I could do, because I heard other people doing it. I knew people could make money online. I didn't know how to do it, but I would try like these different niche websites, these little blogs, and just do these things for a couple of months and like try to like, do SEO and optimize like links and stuff like that. Needless to say, they were all fucking failures because I didn't give a shit about those little websites. I had like maybe 3 or so websites. I don't even know. Maybe 3 websites that I had, and they're all niche websites, and it was supposed to help me, rank, because they had like certain keywords in their web title, in the website's title. And I was supposed to like, kind of game the system to ranking me higher, and then I could like use Google Ads and things like that, if I ranked to the top of the site to get traffic and to get money. That was basically the gist of what I was trying to get at. You know, I did these things for a couple months and they fucking didn't do anything. First of all, they weren't successful. I couldn't get them to rank. Second of all, I fucking hated it and it was such a waste of time. And I was miserable trying to do it, thinking like, oh, why isn't this working? Like, you know, all these guys online that I watched said it would work. You know, why is it not working for me? I was miserable doing it. I was getting pissed because it wasn't working. Eventually, I just fucking dropped it all because it sucked and it was a waste of my time. And I didn't like doing it. I wasn't even remotely excited about doing that kind of work. It was just basically just another job that I hated. So, I was, you know, I kind of like changed my whole philosophy on making money and got away from the focus of trying to make money out of it and actually trying to do something I really wanted to do. So I focused instead on, like, you know, the dating website. And back then, you know, that was really what was popular for me, what I was into, and focused my entire attention on that. And that took a couple of years, again, to get off the ground, to get going. But I'm so glad that I made that pivot and made that transition way back when, because, you know, without that, I wouldn't be where I am today for sure. I mean, that first dating website actually is what became Elite Man Magazine. So it's pretty cool looking back on it now and how much that has fueled my success. But one of the main points I want to make in today's episode, one of the biggest takeaways is to embrace rejection. Embrace it in all areas of your life. By pushing yourself beyond your limits and trying risky things, you will succeed faster than everybody else. You will see success quicker than anybody else will. Because you're pushing things, because you're pushing yourself and pushing things to their limits, you are constantly testing things out and trying things and getting information. That's the important thing, is you're getting that information. You're constantly getting the feedback of what you can do to be successful and what doesn't work so you can cut those out. I run some ads for Elite Life Nutrition on Amazon. It's one of the cool ways. It's called pay-per-click. It's one of the cool ways to advertise a new product. So if a new product comes out, I throw some ads on it, and we have a bunch of keywords, and we bid on them. Anybody who's familiar with pay-per-click, you know, you have your Google ads, your Facebook ads, you have your Amazon ads, which is kind of the newest of all three. And there's a bunch of other ones out there. But anyways, you have your ads on your keywords, and you bid on certain keywords and different words that you think might be applicable to your product. So you have like different groups of keywords that cost different amounts of money. And one of the best ways to maximize the amount of money you're spending and make your ads more profitable, believe it or not, is not just obviously finding the good keywords, the different matches of keywords is great. Like, you want to do that. You want to find your main keywords and you want to, you know, bid on those keywords and, you know, people click on those keywords and they see the ads on Amazon, you get different sales and products and stuff like that. You want to find your good keywords. That's a given. But one of the best ways, actually, to optimize your spend and to optimize your ads and to make more money and to be more profitable is to let go of the keywords that are costing you money and not actually leading to sales. So you have, say, like, you know, 100 keywords and maybe a couple dozen of them are really good, really profitable. Really, I mean, every time people click on them, they're, you know, people are buying for the most part. Those are your great keywords. But you also have a majority of those keywords that Amazon keeps putting up because you're bidding on them, and people aren't clicking on them, or they're clicking on them and they're not buying for whatever reason, just that type of phrase that people are searching for. They're not interested in actually purchasing your product. Those are the keywords that are costing you money, and those are the keywords that you are wasting money and having up. Those are the ones you want to get rid of. So by chopping those ones out, you actually spend more money on the keywords that are working, and therefore not only do you make more money from the keywords that people are buying on because you're allocating more money towards those keywords, but you're also saving money by cutting off the money you're spending on the shitty keywords that are not making you money. So it's a great twofer here. It's a perfect way to allocate your money into the right keywords that you want and actually be more profitable overall. And you know, it's actually, you know, a good tip for anyone starting off on Amazon or anyone selling, and, you know, not just Amazon, that's for really anything, any type of pay-per-click. You want to cut off the shit that's not working and put that money towards the shit that is working. And it's really just, it's very simple. But when you dive into like the data, it's very interesting to see some of the things that and maybe you thought were going to work or that you thought were good keywords. And then you find out just by looking at the stats that they're not good keywords. They're not profitable for you. So you cut them off. You chop them off. And it's just exactly what we're talking about here. You go out, you do things all the time. You push yourself. You push yourself to the limit. You push the envelope as far as it can go from time to time. And, you know, socially, personally, professionally, you just expand and try to be, you try to take things to the next level. Like, don't be afraid of rejection. Embrace rejection. The faster you can get, the more rejections you can have and the more you can learn from every single rejection, the faster you will grow, the faster you will be successful. And just like we're talking about here with the keywords, when you do these things, the key thing is you have to learn from every single rejection you face. Otherwise, you're not going to grow. You're just going to keep having those rejections over and over. But when you do grow, when you do listen to, or when you do learn from the rejections that you have, it's an incredible place to be. That's when you're cutting off those keywords that are not profitable. That's when you're allocating your money to the places that are more profitable for you. Or in this case, you're putting, you know, your investment, your time, your energy, your focus into the things, the techniques, the strategies, the tactics in life, in business, personally, socially, whatever, into those things that are actually working for you. So you chop off the shit that's not working. You chop off those keywords, so to speak, that are costing you time and effort and money. And you put your energy focus into the things that aren't working. And that's what you want to do. And you want to grow. You want to grow. You want to learn every single time you put yourself out there. Every time you put your money out there on Amazon or pay-per-click, whatever it is, every time you bid, you're advertising. You're putting yourself out there to the world. You're pushing the envelope. Every time you do that, you want to make sure you're investing in something worthwhile. You want to just be throwing your money out there and you know, sometimes you're getting a hit or sometimes you're getting a miss and, you know, your money just going to waste a lot of the time and you're not learning anything. That's just shit. That's absolutely what not to do. That's what I did, you know, back when I was 12 years old, back when I was 14, back when I was 16, back when I was 17, sitting next to that girl in class for fucking 4 months being, or 3 months being awkward as shit. That's not what you want to do. And, you know, I highly recommend you start being smarter with how you allocate your energy, your focus, your time, and learning, of course, learning from those lessons that you're going to have when you start pushing things and you start testing things and you start trying things and embracing the fact that you're going to be rejected in life and you're going to face failure. Once you do that, the sooner you can do that, the sooner success is going to start coming into your life. And you're going to see things start to really change for you. Seriously, it was one of the biggest things that changed in my life was this whole mindset shift. This was one of the biggest mindset shifts I've had in my life, and it completely changed the way I thought of things and the way my life was headed. So know that you will fail, know that you'll look like an idiot, and know that you will feel like shit at times, but know that this fuels the fuck out of you and gives you the energy you need to succeed. It's like working out. It's like going to the gym. It's like, you know, lifting those weights. You're just flexing this muscle. You're flexing the rejection muscle every single time you push the envelope, every single time you push yourself past your limit. You're testing yourself. You're working out. You're putting that good hormetic stress on yourself emotionally and mentally, not physically necessarily anyways, but emotionally and physically. I mean, sorry, emotionally and mentally, you're putting a good stress on yourself and making yourself become stronger, making yourself become rejection-proof. Let me take another sip of this water because my throat is getting dry, and we're going to be wrapping up in just a couple of minutes, but this has been an awesome, awesome, I almost said interview. It's not an interview. This has been an awesome chat with you, and I really do appreciate you listening to our episodes here and being a fan of the Elite Man podcast. By the way, if you can leave, I know they say this all the time, but if you can leave, I mean, it takes 30 seconds or so, leave a quick review on iTunes or Stitcher or iHeartRadio or Spotify. We're on as well. Just leave a quick review. Most people are on iTunes, so I do say iTunes the most, but take 30 seconds, leave us a quick review. You can even do it right now while I take a quick water break. I do appreciate it. It helps us get found in the search engines. And just helps us, overall as a show, it helps us in popularity and viewership. So take 30 seconds, you know, 5-star rating, review, whatever it is. I really do appreciate it. And I hope to, continue to deliver the value that I bring each and every week. Because if you're listening and you come in every week, you're getting something out of this show. I can guarantee you that. And I do, from the bottom of my heart, I really do appreciate you listening and being a fan of the show. But I'm going to take a quick water break. Do me a favor, leave a quick review if you haven't yet. And talk to you in a sec. All right. That was not 30 seconds, but while you review the show, I'll just continue on. And hopefully you can pull up and still listen. I don't even know if that's possible, listening to the show and leaving a review. I don't even know if that's possible or not. But if you can do that, that'd be great, because I'm going to continue to talk. If not, you can pause this episode, of course, and take 30 seconds to do it. Or you can wait to the end of the episode and leave the review if you want. Or you can say, Justin, go fuck yourself. I don't feel like reviewing right now, dude. I will do it later, though, because I'm a good dude and I love your show. So either one of those options, totally cool. We're going to be wrapping up in a minute, though. This is really the only way that I know how to live life at this point. This is the only way. It is pushing the envelope, doing things that I don't even think I can do, or if I know is possible for me to do, but being okay with that. I know that I can't do a lot of things. I know that there's skills that I don't possess, but I live every single day with the thought that I can do virtually anything that comes my way. And I know I can't do a lot of things, but I like to think that I can, and I push myself into doing those things. Every single day, I push the envelope. I push my boundaries. I push things socially. I push things personally. I push things when I go to the gym physically. I try things out, and I try to live a life that I leave no stone unturned. I live a life that keeps me fulfilled and keeps me going and motivates me. And that's where I get my motivation from, my fuel. People ask me, like, how do I get this, you know, work ethic of just fucking grinding it out all the time, working on the podcast and the magazine and the supplement company and then the book, which I finished, by the way, a couple months back. And I'm actually right now I'm in the process of getting an agent and hopefully getting a publisher. You know, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, we'll see how that goes. And maybe in the next month or so. But I mean, the book is going to be fucking incredible. I actually don't know exactly what the title is going to be, so I almost let that slip. Elite something, though. I'll let you come up with the title and let your imagination take over. Elite something is the title, though, that we got going on right now, followed by a subtitle which explains exactly what it is. But I'm not going to reveal that just yet. I'll tell you what though, in the next month or so, when we get the book deal lined up, when we get the agent, you know, the publisher all lined up, and we have the title laid out, you guys on the podcast, you will be the first to know what the full book title is. I don't want to let it slip right now in case it changes, because it might change. It probably will change because I haven't set in stone yet exactly what it's going to be. So I don't want to let that slip. But elite was the first word of that. I'll let your imagination run wild on it. But I promise I will let you guys be the first to know what the title is going to be as soon as I know, in about a month or so, or 2 months. We'll see what happens with that. But anyways, I know absolutely no other way of living aside from pushing myself, pushing my boundaries, and facing rejection. Every single day, I don't give a fuck about failing. I don't give a fuck about rejection, because I know those things are going to make me a better man. I know those things are going to be lessons in my life for me to learn from and to grow from and to become a more refined man. They are things I actually, it's not like I look forward to failing. I never look forward to failing. But I look forward to testing myself and seeing if I can do something. And you know, half the time, I am able to do something, and I can do it, and I feel fucking great because I did it. The other half the time, I fail at it, or I'm rejected at something, or, you know, but whatever it is. But that other half of the time is actually where the learning takes place. When I succeed in something, when I fucking knock something out of the park, when I'm good at something, you know, even if I'm pushing my limits and I actually end up doing well in it, I haven't really learned that much, because I already knew those things. Like I didn't necessarily know I could do it, but I knew those things in terms of having that ability, in terms of having that mental acuity to get something done. But if I fail at it, if I didn't succeed, or if I was rejected in something, that's something that's going to teach me something new, something, a new lesson that I haven't learned, a new skill that I haven't obtained yet. So those are, I mean, it's really two ways of looking at it. You can look at it like, you know, it's a failure, it sucks, it's shitty, whatever, which is how most people look at it. Or you can look at it like, you know, the way I look at it, some other elite men look at it, this is a fucking great opportunity to better myself. This is a great opportunity to improve in an area that I'm not good at. This is fucking a new challenge that I'm going to embrace. Being an elite man, I embrace challenge all the time. Everywhere I go, I embrace challenge. I embrace different obstacles, different things that push me, that motivate me, that inspire me. Those are all things I want to go after in life, and that's what I'm trying to impress upon you. I'm trying to impress upon you the belief that it doesn't fucking matter whether you succeed or you fail. What really matters is that you learn from your failures, that you learn no matter what, that you learn from the times you're rejected, from the times you hit the pavement face first and you think, you know, all hope is lost. That's when you pick yourself back up. That's when you find out what's really inside. You find out what you're really all about. And my guess is that if you're listening to this podcast, you're fucking really strong, resilient, and tough man or woman. And there's a lot more in you than you even know, than you even realize. Because there's a lot more in me than there was that I even realized for many, many years. There was so much more that I was capable of that I had no fucking idea that I was capable of doing. And I've seen this time and time again with working with guys, with coaching guys. There's so much more in them, so much more in you than you even realize. And by pushing the envelope, by pushing your boundaries, by constantly facing rejection, constantly setting yourself up, not to fail, but setting yourself up for that opportunity where failure is, you know, inevitable or a good chance or a good likelihood, by constantly doing that, you will absolutely perpetually grow and perpetually become a more refined, resilient, strong, tough, and elite man or woman. I mean, we got a lot of women here. I mentioned women at the earlier in the podcast. You'll become more a more refined person, though, at the end of the day. It's really just about getting over the fact that you're going to fail. Fuck failure. Fuck rejection. Those things are just lessons. Those things are just opportunities. Those things are a part of life. But if you seize those things, they're your assets. They're your biggest assets. Not just a asset. Not just an asset. But the single biggest asset you have to growing, to opportunity, to succeeding, to being the best person you can be. Using your rejections and your failures as stepping stones to get past the next thing is the best philosophy, the best approach to have. Exposing yourself constantly, that is really the easiest way to overcome rejection. It's actually, I think, probably the only way to really overcome rejection. You can't just hypnosis is great for so many different things. People know I'm a huge proponent of hypnosis. It's incredible. It really is. You can't really use hypnosis to get over rejection. You can use it to help. You can use NLP a little bit to help. You can use different strategies, mindfulness, shit like that. Those things are all good, but they're more for feelings and emotions and say phobias and stuff like that, keeping you grounded. They're not necessarily going to help you overcome rejection. They're not going to help you. They're certainly not going to help you learn from your rejection. And again, you don't necessarily want to eliminate rejection. You actually don't want to eliminate rejection because the rejection is a tool. It is an asset for you. It is a way for you to grow and to become a better man. So embracing the rejection is really the best approach to overcoming it, to overcoming the sting that it has, to overcoming the way it can transform your psyche and your confidence and your self-esteem like it did me for many years. This is the best way to do it, is to embrace it, to fucking say, it's not a big deal. It's not going to affect me. It's not going to have an effect on my confidence. It's not going to have an effect on my self-esteem. It's not going to dictate my decisions. I'm actually going to push forward and move closer to rejection because after listening to this podcast, I realize that rejection is probably my best friend. Rejection is probably the number one thing that's going to propel me to unbelievable fucking success, whereas if I didn't have it, I wouldn't have that success. And I just want to kind of wrap things up now and end with, and we could probably go on and, you know, I do like talking, so I could probably go on for another fucking hour and a half or so, but it's been an awesome podcast. My throat is probably, going to be really happy when I end this podcast in a minute, but, I just want to end with something, a quote by Robert Downey Jr. And this is really about being the type of man. I mean, Robert Downey Jr. is a cool dude. He's a really badass kind of guy, Iron Man. But the quote embodies the philosophy I've been sort of talking about the last few minutes. And that's just, it's being an elite man. It's being, you know, the bold guy, the guy who goes after life, who takes chances, who pushes the boundaries, who pushes past his insecurities and doesn't let things hold him back. That's an elite man. That's, you know, you're kind, you're respectful, you treat people well, you treat people good, you treat people with respect, all that stuff. You have the utmost respect and frame and mindset for other people. You're caring, you're loving, you're considerate, all those things. That's what an elite man is. I mean, an elite man is someone who has all those qualities, but also someone who pushes the boundaries of himself to improve himself every single day, pushes the boundaries, improve himself, become a better man, do all the right things to become the best man he can be so that he gets the most out of life, but also so he can give back and give others. Again, it's about giving. Give others the most he can give out of life. Because when, as a man, is when you're happiest, when you're truly happy, when you're fulfilled, That's spread to the world. That's spread to the rest of the world. People pick up on that. Your relationships are better. The way you treat people is better. Your job, your occupation is better. Your personal life is better. Your social life is better. Your professional life. I mean, it transcends everything when you are happier, when you're more fulfilled. So doing all those things, focusing on yourself and improving yourself and doing the work every single day to be the best man you can be, that's really what an elite man is all about. But what we're talking about here in terms of rejection, in terms of getting over failures, in terms of pushing the boundaries and pushing your limits every single day, not giving a fuck about rejection, not giving a fuck about failing and falling flat on your face. This quote actually is a great way to express that. And that is, I mean, this cool quote. One of my favorite quotes, I think. I think it's one of my favorite quotes right now. So Robert Downey Jr. says, "Listen, smile, agree, and then do whatever the fuck you were going to do anyways." And I just think this is the coolest quote because it's so cool in terms of being a man, in terms of being an elite man. You're going to be polite. You're going to be nice. You're going to be respectful. But at the end of the day, you're going to do whatever the fuck you want to do anyways. And I want you to do those things. I want you to be selfish in that regard where you want to improve yourself every single day. You want to be the best man you can be. You have to take those steps. You have to take those actions. You have to follow those people who have the things that you want. You have to be relentless and you have to be able to overcome rejection and failure. And by doing that, you have to not give a fuck. You have to not really give a fuck about what other people think. Not in a mean way, not in a malicious way, but in a way that you're actually doing it for their benefit. Like I said, if you're happy, you're fulfilled, you're being the best man you can be, that's gonna transcend. That's gonna come out in so many ways. It's gonna transcend across the board in every aspect of your life, and you're gonna treat people better. You're gonna treat them nicer. You're gonna give back more to the community, to other people, to people who need it in your relationships, etc. So, do the things you want to do. Be the man you want to be. Take action. Push the boundaries. Do the things that you might be scared of doing. You know, don't be afraid of that failure. Don't be afraid of that rejection. Do whatever the fuck you were going to do anyways, like Robert Downey Jr. says, and go out there and seize the day. Carpe diem, seize the day. Become the elite man you want to be. You'll never stop rejection, and you really wouldn't want to, but you can stop the effect it has over you. Arm yourself with that umbrella. Arm yourself with the ability to stop the rain from hitting you on the head and getting you wet and, you know, fucking up your day. Have that umbrella, take hold of the umbrella, walk around when it's raining and use it, and don't let rejection affect you. But go out. Don't stop yourself from going out every day. Go out every single day, whether it's raining, whether it's sunny. Go out every single day, seize the day, push the boundaries, live life to the absolute fullest, and just be the fucking best man you can be. That's it. I hope you guys enjoyed that episode. It was a solo episode again. I do periodically like getting on the mic and chatting. I don't know if my throat loves it when I talk for an hour and 40 minutes straight. starting to lose my voice a little bit. But I did enjoy that. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Give me some feedback. Shoot me an email, justin@elitemanmagazine.com. Or, again, you can find me on social media at Justin Stenstrom. That's STENSTROM. Instagram, Facebook, shoot me a message, follow me, add, friend me. If you friend me, though, make sure you send me a message. Otherwise, I won't know who you are. But shoot me a message if you want to become friends on Facebook. That's cool. And the Elite Man Mastermind, of course, on Facebook, the group. You can always join that as well. So enjoy that. Hope you guys had fun. I had fun talking to you, sharing some of my rejection stories. I actually got a couple other rejection stories in the bag that I might have to share at a later date, or if you guys get it out of me, maybe I can share it in a couple weeks or so. We'll see, though. I did appreciate the time. Guys, have an absolute fucking wonderful 4th of July. I know I'm going to be living it up and having a great time. This is my favorite time of year. I hope you guys enjoy it. Be safe. Stay out of trouble, but enjoy life. Seize the day. Be relentless and be fucking rejection proof. You're not going to stop your rejection, but don't be fucking scared of rejection. Go after it. Take chances. Take risks and live the life that you want to live. Take care, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, there's one last thing I need you to do. I need you to subscribe to this podcast right now if you haven't already. By subscribing to the podcast, you get every single episode the minute they're released. Get all of our Elite Man podcast interviews with all of our incredible world-class guests from the lifestyle, health, fitness, business, and social worlds. Absolutely free. Subscribe now, guys, if you haven't already, and enjoy all future episodes. And yes, if you do love the podcast, leave us an awesome review. We really do appreciate it.